Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey, guess what? The 2025 Writing Excuses Cruise is over 50% sold out. During this week-long masterclass, I'm going to be leading writers like yourself through a series of workshops designed to give you the tools to take your writing to the next level. Space is limited, but there is still time to secure your spot. We're going to be sailing out of Los Angeles from September 18th through 26th. Regardless of where you are in your writing journey, this event is your opportunity to learn new skills while exploring the beautiful Mexican Riviera. Whether you're revising a story, reworking a character arc, or revitalizing your plot, you'll leave more confident in your current story and bolstered by a new set of friends. Join us on board at writingexcuses.com/retreats.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses. Season 20, Episode 12. This is Writing Excuses.
Fashion as a writing metaphor.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Dong Wan.
I'm Dan.
I'm Aaron.
And I'm wearing clothes.
So
thank God.
We are all grateful for that fact. So for this episode, we are returning to the little mini series that we're doing throughout this season of different personal metaphors for how we think about the process of writing and storytelling. And I was excited this episode to talk about how I think about fashion and why I think that's a useful metaphor for approaching writing. So there's a few things I want to hit here, but the first thing I want to start with is I think fashion and writing, or fashion and storytelling, are very similar in one very specific way, which is that whether you know it or not, you are already doing this every single day of your life, right? It's, you know, you are writing emails, you are sending text messages, you are all communicating with the people around you, you're telling stories to your family, to your friends, you are also getting dressed every day. Now, this doesn't mean necessarily that you are putting on an outfit and participating in the general broader culture of fashion in an intentional and deliberate way, in the same way that sending an email to your boss is not you writing fiction or telling a story in the same intentional way that you would be if you were pursuing this for publication. There's lots of reasons to put clothes on your body. There's lots of reasons to put text on a page.
Kind of the difference between ordering a pizza and standing up and reading a poem. You know, ordering the pizza on the phone. Okay, has anybody done that in the last 10 years? I don't know. But I mean, you have that conversation and there's a bare minimum of information that needs to be transmitted and you're just going to transmit it and be done. But mm-hmm. if you're standing up at open mic night in the poetry club, I've never been to one of those. Are those even things? There's a lot more intent in what you're saying.
Yes, those are real things for the record, but yes. And people do exactly what you're describing. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of going back to the episode about cooking as well. The difference between doing it for subsistence, doing it for everyday purposes versus doing it for with intention, with a reason why you're engaging with it.
Well, and one of the things about that for me is that whether or not you intend something, you're still communicating. Mm-hmm. There's this quote by Miuccia Prada, which I have loved for years, which is, "What you wear is how you present yourself to the world. Fashion is instant language." Mm-hmm. And one of the places that we see this most is actually in the area of privilege, that somebody who is, like a CEO can come into the office in jeans, but somebody who's angling for a raise cannot. Mm-hmm. And so if you are getting up and saying, yeah, it doesn't matter what I put on. Well, it doesn't matter to you because it doesn't affect the way you move through the world. But someone else who does not have the same standing, the same other societal pressures on them, can't make the same choices. So whether or not you're intending to make mm-hmm. a statement, you're still making a statement.
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to bring fashion as the metaphor for this episode was I truly love fashion. I love designer clothing. I in terms of like seeing what's going on at Fashion Week, seeing what's going on in the world of design. But how I dress myself is also a point of interest, but also difficulty and pain, right? Mm-hmm. One thing I do want to emphasize is just because we're talking about fashion, a lot of us have very different relationships to clothing at different points in our lives, for different reasons. It is hard to dress yourself in a way that makes you feel good and excited to go out the door. It's hard to find a thing that feels natural to your form of expression and meets the expectations of all the people around you, right? I just really want to emphasize that as we're talking about this, that there's an ease and fun to fashion. It's also very challenging. You know, I have someone who's made an interest out of dressing myself for a lot of reasons. Some of those were about assimilation and blending in. And as I've come out as queer and as I've transitioned, having to learn a whole new language for how to dress has been a particular challenge for me and an ongoing one. Learning how to speak those languages, learning how to approach that, made fashion into a thing that instead of something I was doing by reflex, to something I was doing by intention and deliberateness to figure out how to communicate certain things that I wanted to communicate.
For me, what you're saying about the something that I'm doing out of reflex, mm-hmm. I want to bring us to how this works extremely well as a metaphor for prose. We talk about transparent prose. Mm-hmm. And transparent prose is a fashion. Like right now, transparent prose in the United States is that you sound like you're a 30-year-old white guy. Mm-hmm. Jane Austen was writing transparent prose in her day. But if you drop one of her books down in front of most people, there are parts of it that are impenetrable. When I was writing the Glamorous History series, one of the things that I would always do is I would put, just to amuse myself, I would put an unaltered sentence from Jane Austen in every novel. And without fail, my editor, my copy editor, and the proofreader would all flag that sentence as awkward. And beside the great satisfaction of saying "stet" Jane Austen, it highlighted for me the fact that even though I was trying to write in Austenian English, my fashion was still rooted in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. And when you put something in from another time period that was transparent prose in her day, it is awkward now. And so for me, when I'm thinking about writing, I am thinking about, you know, what things am I putting on the page without thinking about it?
Yeah.
If you don't read the language, you'll struggle to speak the language. If you don't understand the language, it's very difficult to use the language. As we're recording this episode, just today we got off of Navigator of the Seas, the Royal Caribbean cruise ship, and you might think, well, all the passengers are wearing clothing that's, you know, some of it's fancy and some of it's casual and whatever, but there is a very specific language being spoken among the crew members where there are very small indicators of rank and position. And I could tell that, well, hey, the ones in the white shirts are generally the bosses of a given area, and the ones in the colored shirts are the ones who are reporting to the bosses. But I didn't know where to look for pips or stripes or whatever to tell rank. But for them, that fashion really is instant language. At a glance, they know where a person stands on the ladder of rank in the ship.
And we do this all the time. I mean, if anyone has ever gone to a convention, you can immediately tell who the science fiction people are. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to explain why. I mean, sometimes it is because they're wearing a shirt that's in the Star Wars font that says, "Metal Fours be with you." Metaphors be with you. It's just amazing. Sorry, I did actually accidentally read that as Metal Fours.
We were going with it.
Yeah. But when I am thinking about when I'm thinking about fiction, it is again that, like, what are the signals that I'm sending? Mm-hmm. And I often think about the fashion of it. Like, is this a dressy occasion?
Yeah. And I think that evolves over time, and those can be sort of genre indicators as well.
One of the things I really like in thinking about fashion is that it's where the personal meets the cultural.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's your own expression of identity. And, you know, as we go through the year, one thing we've been talking about is the lens of who, and we will be getting to the lens of setting. And in some ways, fashion is right where those two hit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because fashion is influenced by the cultural norms around you, but also the cultural norms you bring with you. Mm-hmm. What you may believe to be a formal, you know, dress is not. For some reason, I'm thinking of Downton Abbey and, like, all the shame of wearing what we would consider to be a very formal tuxedo, because they only wore white tie, where it was like an all white outfit, and wearing a black dress coat was like, you know, who would ever do that? Yeah. I believe you're looking at me as if no.
No, white tie means that literally your tie is white, but it was with tails. It's sorry. Okay. Sorry.
I did not know the language of what they were talking about, as we can tell. But, like, I think what's important is that, like, that culture has shifted.
Yeah.
And the way, mm-hmm. you know, if somebody who comes down in a full tux to dinner right now, you're thinking they must be at a wedding or going to a particular type of special occasion in a particular culture as well. And so in stories, even when you're not thinking about the character's fashion, how is the way that they would express themselves constrained, redefined, or experienced by the culture around them?
Well, it's also how your personal is reshaped and changed by what you are wearing to the occasion, right? And so if you show up in a t-shirt and shorts to the wedding, then that's going to communicate a very different thing about who you are and what your expectations are at arriving at that event. In the same way that if you're trying to write a horror story and you're putting, you know, bunnies and ponies in it that are all lovely and fluffy, then everyone's a little bit like, hey, this, you may not be bringing the correct language to this particular genre expectation that you're meeting here, right? So the expectations that people have around what the event is and what clothing is appropriate are kind of useful to think about as you're thinking about what story you're trying to tell and how you want to tell it. And with that, let's take a pause for a moment. And when we come back, we'll get a little bit more into how you can begin to dress yourself with intent.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Okay, you guys, everyone wants to know, are you DTF? Down to farm, that is. That's right. Farmer Wants a Wife is back on Fox with four hot new farmers looking for the love of their lives. But are these ladies ready to take on farm life? And you know, dating one woman has its challenges, but juggling five? These farmers are going to have their hands full. Don't miss the all-new season of Farmer Wants a Wife, Thursdays on Fox.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So before we started recording, I made all of my fellow podcasters watch a TikTok with me that is a TikTok sound that I very, very much enjoy because it mostly is just people cycling through a bunch of different great outfits. And I learn a lot from it and get a lot of inspiration for it. But the sound itself is talking about ways to think about putting a good outfit together, right? And the sound goes, if it's not interesting by color, it needs to be interesting by shape. If it's not interesting by shape, it needs to be interesting by texture. If it's not interesting by texture, it needs to be interesting by color, right? And so it's sort of highlighting how you have these different elements that you can pull from that whenever you have a story or a piece of fiction, it needs to stand out in one of several different ways, right? The voice needs to be interesting. The thematic elements need to be interesting. It needs to be hitting a certain genre expectation, right? Understanding what your broad tools are that you can use to pull a reader in is really, really important.
Years ago, I was the Toastmaster at a couple of conventions, and I realized that the most important tool in my toolbox for being the Toastmaster was the tuxedo. Mm-hmm. Because when, and yeah, there's a measure of privilege in here, when the white guy with a tuxedo steps on stage and picks up the microphone, I didn't need to say anything. Everybody just went quiet because it signaled to the whole room that something was about to begin. I don't speak fashion very well, but I knew that piece of syntax and I knew how to use it.
It was interesting by shape in that case, right? The silhouette you're presenting communicated something very clear to us, which is, fancy person in charge, right?
One of the things that I loved about that little TikTok clip that you showed us is that it uses the word interesting instead of the word good.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. It's not saying that you have to be perfect in any of these areas. It's not saying you have to be good in any of these areas. Just be interesting in one of them. Mm-hmm. And obviously your writing needs to also be good. That's what people want to read. But being interesting in your voice, being interesting in your perspective, in your technology or your magic, whatever it is that you're talking about, find something that is going to grab attention and be interesting.
And it doesn't have to be interesting in all of those things.
Yeah.
That you can pick one thing that you love, that you are fascinated by, and set it against a relatively neutral background and it'll pop. So you can focus things that way when you're building an outfit for yourself or thinking about a story that you're writing. It doesn't have to be an original voice and an original plot and original characters. You know, it can just be one of those things.
Well, what I also like about it is, you know, when I see people start to dress themselves and they're trying to figure out how to be interesting and distinctive and how to have intent in presenting themselves, the first thing they reach for is color, right? So often you see teens, young people, when they're first trying to figure out, how do I look like a person? They'll be like bright colors, dark colors, whatever it is, right? That's why we see like, we talk about like teen goths so much because they learn that if I dress in all in black, I can appear a certain way and be of a certain community and have certain expectations versus, you know, neons versus, you know, pastels, you know.
Surviving the 80s was rough.
Yeah, exactly. Describing all those things seem really useful. But then what I really love is reminding myself and reminding other people that there are other tools in your kit too, right? You don't just have voice. You don't just have character. You don't just have this, that, the other. You know, I'm currently wearing a monochromatic outfit. I'm wearing all black, but in three different textures. And so I think about that when I get dressed of like, oh, if I'm having this linen top, then I want sort of something a little more billowy, flowy on pants. And then I want these leather boots to go with it, right? And so learning to think about the different tools in your kit and reminding yourself that, oh, this scene isn't working because I'm just trying to lean into the action of it and it's falling flat because all I have is a single note of action. What else can I layer into it? Where's the texture? Where's the color? Where's the shape?
And I think this is also something else that happens to people is that they are afraid to experiment and are looking for someone to tell them what is correct and also afraid to ask for help.
Yeah.
So it's this weird thing that will happen to people. I went through a period where I had, my body had changed shape and I didn't know how to dress myself anymore. So I actually went to a, and again, it was at a point in my life where I could afford this. I went to a shopper and asked for help understanding what looked good on my body. And that was all I needed. I didn't have to keep going back to that same thing. And I think that when you're writing, that this is what workshops do for you. It's like, how does this work? And you don't have to always, you don't have to do exactly what they tell you. Like sometimes she would show me something like, no, that's sending a signal that is very not me. Even if it looks good on my body, it does not match my personality.
Well, and that's why, you know, when I showed this to everyone, Howard, you had a really interesting response where you said, this keeps saying interesting. And, you know, we kind of flagged that as a good thing about this. But your reaction was, I don't know what interesting means in this case.
Yeah.
And one thing I want to emphasize as we're talking about how to dress yourself with intent, how to engage with fashion and how to engage with writing, that the most important thing you have to do in all of this is to develop taste. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily good taste. That doesn't mean that you have to be agreeing with the high arbiters of the, who awards the Pulitzer Prize. But it does mean you have to have a taste. And that is a personal perspective that you're bringing to what clothes you're putting on your body, what words you're putting on the page.
I want to change the topic just slightly. I teach a class about how to write thrillers, which is a very small kind of spare style of writing. And I use a Coco Chanel quote all the time when I teach it, which is, before you leave the house, look in the mirror and take one thing off. This idea kind of goes back to when talking about texture or shape or color. You know, what are the tools in your toolbox? You don't need to use them all. You probably don't want to use them all. You know, trim back. Be a little spare, a little lean, especially when you're writing something like a thriller.
I have two reactions to that. The first reaction is Coco Chanel looking at me and saying, no, 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 Howard, put the pants back on. Take something else off. But the second response is that when we were studying, when I was studying music and we were looking at arrangements, we were told, you know, the sound of one violin is very, very interesting. The sound of two violins is fighting. You want one violin or you want several? If they're all going to be playing the same note. You know, a string quartet, yeah, that, you know, that's another thing. But it was this idea that if it's too interesting in too many ways, then the things fight and we lose focus. And so, yeah, Coco Chanel, look in the mirror, take one thing off.
It's the power of editing, right? It is what she's fundamentally talking about, right? Editing in terms of removing the one too many things that's on the plate, removing the one too many things in the outfit. It's the where the idea of kill your darlings comes from, right? That may be your favorite ring that you're wearing, but it's a different metal tone than everything else you're wearing and it's clashing, or it's a different shape and it's clashing. If you take it off, it'll just look that much cleaner, and take it from something that feels costumey to something that feels fashion.
It also helps you focus. It helps you see this is the thing that's important.
I also think it's interesting to think about, like, what are your go-to, you know, maybe this is just me, but like I have, you know, things in my closet that I wear all the time. Like, you know what I mean? It's like I got like 20 things, but like these three are like, if you see me, you probably see me in one of those because I like them the most. They feel the most comfortable. They're the hardest, you know? And I think the same, like to get rid of if I'm like, oh, these don't fit the occasion, but like, but I love them. And so I'm thinking similarly in writing, like what are the things that you go to over and over again, and then what is it about them so that if you, like, if I decide, like, I love all these, you know, casual t-shirts, but I have to go to a formal event, they will not work. What is it that I like about them? Is it the shape? Is it the color? Do you know what I mean? Is it the you know, texture? If it's the texture, how can I find texture in a different form? And so thinking about some of the tools that you use, like, even if it's not the tool, if your darling won't work for this particular piece, maybe it will work. like maybe something about the reason that it is your darling can be found elsewhere in that story.
Well, that's why I like talking about taste. And it's like, taste is almost this taboo thing to talk about in a certain way because, you know, there's so many that's, it's so loaded with a certain valence of like good taste, bad taste. It's like, it's this like.
In poor taste.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But really all taste is having a point of view. It's having a perspective and it's coming from a place in how you think about your dress, how you think about what you're interested in, or what kind of stories you're interested in. And the only way to develop your taste is to find out what you like, right? And like read more, consume more books, consume more stories, look at more people wearing clothes and think about why did they decide to dress that way today?
Yeah. And going back to the thing that we were talking about at the beginning with that Prada quote, that it is about how you present yourself. Yeah. Often fashion, as it changes, because fashion appears in clothing and music and architecture, it's often about that communicating, this is the community that I belong to. And also, this is where I am in a power structure. It's frequently driven by a wealth display in some form or another, which is one of the reasons that you'll see people, I think, when they are like, no, I write literary fiction. Mm-hmm. And like, I will discard all of the pieces of science fiction unless I put them on as a costume. And that's one of the reasons that I think science fiction writers get so mad when they see a literary person who's using science fiction tropes and does not understand how they work. Mm-hmm. It's one of the problems when you're seeing people putting on another culture as a costume. It's because they don't understand how it communicates to the, and it's saying I belong to a community that they don't belong to, whether it's in fiction or in real life. And it's also not understanding how things connect.
And if you haven't taken the time to develop your taste in that thing, then you'll show up in costume and everyone will be like, oh, you don't go here.
Yeah.
And we can tell, you know.
And I think on the other side, like I'm reminded of the sort of comparison is the thief of joy, which is I remember finding out a while ago that like every famous person has their clothes tailored. And also just a lot of people in the world, like, their clothes are tailored to fit their body exactly after they buy them. And so when you bought something off the rack and walk out and are like, how come this is not flowing to my body the way it is when I see other people walking through the world, you don't know what they've done to their clothes between the moment they acquired them and the moment that they're actually out there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's similarly to like if you compare somebody's 10th book to the thing that you just wrote today and you're like, well, why is their thing so, you know, so perfect and mine is so messy? It's, you're at a different point. You haven't done the same things. You haven't tailored in the same way. Mm-hmm. Maybe you are still developing your taste and they've had longer to think about and develop theirs. And so when you do that direct comparison, it isn't, they're not better. They're just using the tools differently.
And also pro tip for the audience, it takes so much less money to get stuff tailored than you think it is.
Yeah.
You probably think it's hundreds of dollars. It's like 15 to 20. Like it's worth it. And a lot of times. But, you know, to kind of go into what you're saying, I've seen people be so incredibly fashionable, the coolest outfits I've ever seen. And they've assembled that for under $30 at thrift stores.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people who are incredibly stylish, incredibly cool. And that's a $5,000 outfit that they're wearing. There's like a leveling effect to that because their ability to bring their perspective to what clothes they're putting on their body is the thing that's equating them, not how much money they're able to spend. So you can be a completely self-taught writer who grew up doing fan fiction and be delivering some of the most impactful narrative experiences out there, or you could have an MFA and a PhD under your belt and be delivering the same effect, right?
Yeah. When I see people, I'm interested in what they're communicating to me about themselves. Yeah. Sometimes I see people and I think, what you're communicating to me is that you are expensive.
Yes.
And sometimes I read books and I'm like, you're communicating to me that you are expensive. You just feel, you want to feel fancy. I see this, sometimes it's in published stuff, but a lot of times in early career writers, I'll ask them, like, how do you want people to feel at the end of this book? And you can tell that what they want, and sometimes they actually voice it, is they want the reader to think that they are clever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not.
Yeah.
That is almost never going to work out the way you want it to work out.
Yeah.
And that feels like somebody wanting me to know that this is designer, not that I thought about how these lapel ratios work with my shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think those are a different type of conversation that you could be having.
Yeah. Someone recently asked me, asked me if I liked their sweater, which was, you know, weird. But then I was like, yeah, it seems. And they then proceeded to tell me the provenance of the sweater, mm-hmm. and instead of telling me what they liked about it. Like, and yeah. I'm like, I don't actually care where it came from or what line it's in. I am interested in, you know, the textures and why, what I had asked was, what do the numbers mean on it?
Yeah.
And they then proceeded to tell me about the provenance instead of like why they had a personal connection to it. Like, why did you pick this?
And I think that really comes back to the core reason I want to talk about fashion is, for me, what clothes you put on your body, what stories you tell, it all comes down to intent. If you're approaching whatever it is you're doing with intent, then you can take any of the tools available to you and build something really exciting out of it and do something really dynamic with it. If you are going for the easiest off-the-shelf option that just because everyone else is doing it, then that's always going to be a little less interesting to me, right? And learning to develop your taste for what's exciting to you and learning to develop that sense of intent towards your craft is very challenging, but also, I think, really, really rewarding once you start figuring out how to do that. And with that, I have a little bit of homework for you to start figuring out how to do this. And that is, I want you to go to your closet and take one article of clothing that you love. It can be a t-shirt, it can be a pair of pants, it can be a belt, whatever it is. Take a thing that you love from your closet. Now, I want you to build three different outfits around that. Build an outfit that you would wear just out on the street, going to the grocery store, going to the coffee shop, whatever it is you do on your day-to-day. What's an everyday version of that? Now, take that same article of clothing and think about going to a family dinner at your parents' house that all your aunts and uncles and cousins and everybody's coming to. What does that look like? Now, take that same article of clothing and incorporate it into an outfit that you'd go out for a night out on the town with your people, whether that's your friends, your date, whatever it is. Think about how that same article of clothing, that same tool, can serve you in these different genres, these different audiences, and then start thinking about what in your fiction works that way.
This has been Writing Excuses. Thanks. It has pockets. Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dong Wan Song, Aaron Roberts, Dan Wells, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
You set the gold standard for your business. Your website should do the same. Wix puts you at the helm so you can enjoy the creative freedom of designing your site just the way you want. Want someone to bounce your ideas off? Talk with AI to create a beautiful site together. Generate on-brand content, images, media, and simply change or fine-tune any of it along the way. Whatever your business, manage it from one place and tie it all together with a personalized domain name. Gear up for success with a brand that says you best. You can do it yourself on Wix.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.